This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, the award-winning author and illustrator of the children's classics Jumanji and the Polar Express inspires best-selling writers to lend their voices to the mysteries of Harris Burdick. And the birthplace of a ballpark, the author of Fenway 1912 shares surprising tales buried beneath the green monster and creaky bleachers of America's most beloved baseball stadium. But first, an insider on the auto industry's spy game. Car makers have a long tradition of closely guarding forthcoming models, sometimes going to extreme lengths to even disguise new cars while they're being road tested. Of course, where there's a secret to be uncovered, there are spies vying for a look under the hood, and photographers who will do just about anything to capture a clear picture of a car before it's been manufactured. Here to uncover the business behind automotive paparazzi is Jamie Page Deaton, managing editor of U.S. News & World Report's Best Car Rankings and our frequent guest on All Things Automotive. Jamie, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
An article about auto spying in Bloomberg Business Week actually caught our eye. But tell us more about this tradition of car makers hiding forthcoming models. How do they do it?
Well, this is one of those really cool areas of automotive journalism that regular consumers don't really get to see. And the reason that car makers are so into hiding their new cars is that it's really about image control. Think about it like when a celebrity couple has a baby. They will go to a particular magazine and say, here, we'll sell you the pictures rather than being hounded by paparazzi.
Right.
It's because they want to control the story. They want to have the baby presented in the most positive light. And that's exactly what car makers are doing. They will try and hide the cars from the paparazzi because they want to present them in a really flattering way. And again, if you just have spy shots and the reaction to the spy shots is, ugh, that's an ugly car, automakers are not going to be happy about that because that could really negatively impact sales.
Well, so what are some of the disguises that they use?
Oh, they have some really impressive disguises. They will put this tape with geometric patterns on it, which makes it very difficult to see the actual lines and shape of the car. They will put, if they're just testing a particular technology, they will put it under an already existing model. So, for example, you know, the Chevy Volt, when it was undergoing testing, it actually had a Chevy Malibu body for much of the time. So people wouldn't know what it looked like.
Like a fat suit.
For yeah, exactly.
Well, what's really at stake here? I mean, wouldn't it help build buzz to get a sneak peek at a cooler car that might be coming our way?
Well, yeah. And the thing is, the spy shots do build buzz. But again, the automaker wants to control the story. And so they want to control the shots that are coming out. And so automakers do really play this game. They will they'll put out teaser shots. You know, some of the more recent ones that just came out is teaser shots of the new Dodge Dart that's coming out. And those tend to be very heavily cropped photos of just, say, a bumper or some headlights. But when the spy shots are done by outside groups, the automakers lose control of the story, and that's what they don't want to have happen.
Well, talk a little bit about these photographers who make their living taking pictures. I mean, are they mechanics, just photographers?
No, these are everyday people who just sort of got into it. Now, some of them have a long tradition of doing it. There's Jim Doon. He's in his 70s, and he's a pioneer in it. Then the Bloomberg piece profiled a Phoenix housewife named Brenda Pretty who does it. And then, you know, with everybody having cameras on their smartphones, anybody can be an auto spy, you know, photographer now. I've actually seen photos that come out of, you know, Munich, which is where BMW does a lot of their testing. Just on Munich streets, people snapping pictures of BMW test mules, you know, on their smartphones. So it's really anybody could actually do it.
Well, who buys it, though? Who buys the photos? And how much do they pay for something like that?
Well, there are a lot of websites now, particularly who buy the photos. It used to be magazines would buy them. But of course, with the internet, the magazines would be just too slow. I mean, the magazines like Car and Driver and Motor Trend will buy them for their blogs. But one of the biggest purchasers of these photos is Jalopnik, which is part of the Gawker Media Group.
Uh-huh.
And the editor of Jalopnik will actually put bounties on photos for certain cars and pay thousands of dollars just to have that first shot for their users.
So interesting, because Gawker Media does, you know, like shots of celebrities on the streets in New York and all sorts of inside knowledge about
mm-hmm.
them. But just tell me, I mean, do you guys in your office pass around these photos? Like,
well, our office is a little bit different because our site is focused primarily on consumers, and we find that most of our users who are in the market for a car and they want some good basic transportation, they're not too into the sort of inside baseball game of the cars. But among our editors, yeah, those spy shots are flying back and forth.
Are there moles maybe inside the auto industry who might tip off a photographer, just, you know, like used to happen with with Hollywood stars back in the day.
Oh, yes. And again,
so the double agents.
Our double agents. And again, this goes back to automakers want control of the story. So if they think they can get a flattering shot but have it passed off as like, ooh, it's a scoop of a spy shot, yeah, they're going to let you know, oh, we're testing out in the desert. Or, you know, they might say, hey, maybe you want to look around the streets of Detroit around this date, just to let the photographers know there might be something out there. And again, it's just like celebrities. It's just like celebrity journalism, same type of paparazzi. It's about getting control of the story, but again, trying to make it look real, like maybe you haven't sort of fed that bit to the media.
It's a little bit leaked. So celebrities, they're just like us. They go through the Starbucks drive-through too. Is it illegal or unethical, or is this just, you know, maybe sort of a custom?
I mean, it's just a custom. People want to know what the new car is going to look like. People want to know what the latest and greatest news is with any subject. But particularly with cars, you want to be the guy at the water cooler who says, hey, did you see the pictures of this or that? And so, I mean, as long as there's going to be a market for it, people are going to go for it. And it's just, again, just like celebrity paparazzi journalism. It's just pictures. And again, I think it's a little bit better than maybe chasing down a couple and taking pictures of their new baby, or, you know, renting a helicopter to fly over somebody's wedding. Because honestly, this is a car.
It's business.
It doesn't have an expectation of privacy. So you're going to see thousands of them on the road anyway. You might as well get the pictures out.
We're talking about the business of spying in the auto industry with Jamie Page Seaton. She's managing editor of U.S. News and World Report's Best Car Rankings. All right, let's switch gears to another story that you've been following, a major glitch in the Chevy Volt.
Yeah, now this is a really interesting story, because what happened is after the Chevy Volt underwent some crash testing with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, two of the Volts actually caught fire. And these fires actually, they started 3 days after the crash test. So it wasn't a very dramatic boom, it hit a wall and then burst into flames. And what happened was the case around the battery pack was punctured during the test. That leaked coolant, the battery overheated, the car caught fire. There really have not been any real world reports of the battery catching fire. And the Chevy's response to this has been very interesting. They've certainly learned their lessons, I think, from the Toyota unintended acceleration debacle last year. And basically what they're doing is they've been very proactive about it. They're working with NHTSA to resolve it. They already have fixes about weeks away, just a couple of weeks away, and then they can put them in place. And they've offered to either replace Volts from nervous owners or give loaner cars until the fix is in place.
All right, some holiday season news here. I understand that car sales on Black Friday were way up this year, but one auto brand has become almost synonymous with the idea of giving cars for Christmas. Let's have a listen to the TV ad that seems to be running in pretty much heavy rotation.
You ready for your present?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Sometimes the giving can be just as amazing as the gift.
What do you think?
All right, that's a commercial enticing us to give a Lexus for Christmas. Jamie, do people really give, well, do we call them Lexi? Lexi for Christmas?
We always call them Lexus models.
That's a way to get around it.
But you know what? I've never known anybody who got a Lexus for Christmas, but somebody must, because this is a huge campaign for Lexus. They do it every year. They've done it for the past several years. It's instantly recognizable, and this is a big brand for them. And of course, they're not the only ones. Mercedes always has a big Christmas push, you know, where Santa has a garage full of red Mercedes's.
But Lexus, you know, it comes with the big bow. It even has its own theme song. In that ad, the husband is clued in when he hears it as a ringtone on his cell phone. Are they making this campaign a part of the Lexus brand?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, again, Lexus is a luxury brand. If you can give a car for Christmas, especially if you can give a Lexus as a Christmas gift, you know, you've definitely arrived. And that just speaks to the brand that is Lexus. It's all about luxury. It's all about being comfortable. It's all about having that that just upscale feeling all the way around you. And if you're giving a car for Christmas, then yeah. And again, they've done it a really good job of tying it together with that big red bow and the music, of course.
Well, say you had a car on your Christmas wish list. You're the editor of the best new cars list. What do you want?
Oh, I want an Audi R8, if anybody's listening.
Say again?
An Audi R8. It's a sports car. It's got all-wheel drive, so it makes perfect sense for New Hampshire. It's got a mid-mounted engine. You just can't beat it. And, you know, I hope Santa's listening. I've been pretty good this year.
You have been pretty good to us, let's say. So let's cue the Audi as a gift song, which is yet to be written. Jamie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again.
Jamie Page Deaton, managing editor of U.S. News and World Report's Best Car Rankings, and a frequent guest on our All Things Automotive. For a link to her blog or to answer the question, have you ever gotten a car for Christmas? You can drive on over to our wordofmouthradio.org page or merge onto our Facebook page or tailgate us on Twitter. Coming up, the mysterious Harris Burdick has inspired generations of kids and now best-selling authors like Stephen King, among other literary notables. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.